to a deeper look in the book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbur, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbur will bring in a series of lessons out of the book of 1 Timothy. So get close to your radio and listen now as we take a deeper look in the book.
Tonight we want to look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verses 6 through 10, and we'll be looking at the theme, the danger of loving money. Not the danger of money, the danger of loving money. The danger of loving money. One of the things that has caused many people, many problems, is this thing, this love of money. Many marriages have been broken up because the attitude that ones have in the marriage regarding money. Many churches have split up, have had church splits because of the attitudes of the folks in the church regarding money. Many boards in the church, particularly the official boards, often have many different squabbles, fall out and knock down and drag outs, as they often say, over this one thing called money. If we're gonna be a church that God can use today and in the days to come, we must understand what is money. We must understand what should be our attitude towards money. We should understand the consequences of loving money. That's what we want to seek to try to bring out this evening. We want to bring out, first of all, what should be the Christian view of money. In order for us to understand how a Christian should view money, first of all, we got to understand what is money. I want to give you five things, or the Bible give us at least five things, and this list that I'm going to give you is not an exhausted list. It's the money is talked about more than any other subject in the Bible. But I just want to give you five things tonight of what money is, first of all. First of all, money is a temporary tool to be used for eternal means. In other words, money is a temporary exchange to be used for eternal purposes. Jesus told a parable over in Luke chapter 16. And why don't you turn over in Luke chapter 16? Because if you really want to understand money, you need to really do a biblical study of Luke chapter 16. Look at what the scripture says in Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse number 1. The scripture says, now, he was also saying to the disciples, there was a certain rich man. In other words, it could have been any rich man. A certain rich man who had a steward, and this steward was reported to him as squandering his possession. Now, this was a certain rich man. All right, verse 2. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Now, notice, this man had a job, but because he wasn't doing his job right, now he done lost his job. Notice verse 3, and the steward said to himself, what shall I do since my master is taking the stewardship away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to be it. I'm not strong enough to do manual labor. He probably was a lit fellow like me. He said, and I'm ashamed to go around begging folks. Boy, he is in a situation, bad situation, isn't it? If he's not strong enough to do no manual labor and he's too prideful to beg. Notice what he says he's going to do. He came up with this plan. He said, I know what I shall do, so that when I'm removed from the stewardship, they will receive me into their home. And he summoned each one of his master's debtors. And he began saying to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, write 50. In other words, he cut him a deal, say, pay half of it. Can you pay half? If you pay half, you know, that's fine. Verse number 7. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill, write 80. What about you? Can you pay 80? The fellow, yeah. All right. Verse number 8. And his master, notice, his master praised him, the unrighteous steward, because he had acted what? Shrewdly. Not that he had acted honestly, but he acted shrewdly. In other words, man, he came up with a real good, wise plan for his sake. He knew that he was getting ready to lose his job. He knew that he wasn't going to be able to stay here. So what did he do? He fixed it so he could be able to stay over here. And the master steward said, man, you sure acted wisely. You knew you weren't going to be able to stay here, but you fixed it where you'll be able to stay over there. And notice what he says. He says at the end, for the sons of this age are more shrewd in their relation to their own kind than the sons of light. In other words, people that are worldly of this world, they fixed it so they can live in this world, don't they? We are planning on going to heaven, but do we fix it like we're going to heaven? Do we do business with God like we're going to meet God one day? Jesus said the folks in this world act a whole lot better than the folks that's going to the next world. The folks in this world, they are fixing things for them in this world. Folks who go into heaven, we don't act like we're going to heaven. That's what he's saying. Wherever you stay, you ought to be fixing it like you're going to stay there. This man, he used the money in order to help him win some friends, didn't he? Look at what it says here. Verse 9, and I say to you, make friends to yourself by means of mammon of unrighteousness, that when it fail, they may receive you into the eternal dwelling. In other words, you need to do business with God so that when things down here mess up and you done lost everything down here, that you'll have something up there. In other words, you always need to be fixing it where you're going. Just like this man here, he knew that he couldn't work no more for his master. So even though he was cutting these deals, that didn't matter with him because he was fired anyway. So even though this man owed me $100, you give me 50. I'll pay the master 50 and I'll cut you clean. Even though you still owe the master 50, we're going to wipe the slate clean, all right? Now me and you, we friends, aren't we? Even though his master didn't get all the money, I fixed it not for the master, I fixed it for me. We ought to be fixing it so we can be right with God in heaven. In other words, wherever we're going, that's where we need to be putting our plans and our emphasis to. Just like this man here. In other words, we need to use money for eternal purposes. In other words, use money for God's sake. Why is that? Because one day, I'm going to have to leave this earth. So if I'm going to have to leave this earth, then I need to, wherever I'm going, I need to be already done develop a relationship with the person there. All right. So money is in temporary to be used for eternal purposes of God. Secondly, money is not true riches. I hope you're taking some notes. You need to know what money is. I hope you're taking some notes. Money, first of all, money is a tool. Money is a tool. It's a temporary tool. It's something you use for a little while, but it can pay eternal dividends. Okay. Secondly, money is not true riches. It's not true riches. Look at what the Bible says, verse 10. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, that's what he called money, who will entrust the true riches to you? Notice, God has got the real valuable stuff put away. But he says, I'm going to entrust you with temporary riches to just test you out or check you out before I give you the real riches. Do you see that? It's just like if you can't be faithful with a tea set, it's no sense in me pulling out the fine china. You see what I'm saying? If you are tearing up the tea set, why is I'm going to go and get some $200, $300, $500 china and give that to you? See, we thinking that money, boy, I got a $100 bill. Man, a $100 bill to the real riches of God is nothing. The true riches of God, think about the things of this world that we think are valuable. They are not that valuable. Think about it. Man, that's what we fix potholes in heaven with, gold. The streets are paved with gold. I mean, that's just what, that's the dirt in heaven. Gold. Now you think about it. That's what the doors, the gates are made out of, pearls. You see what I'm saying? It's not the real stuff yet. This is God's tea set. That's the play money. All right, let's move on. I think y'all got it. Thirdly, money is a gift from God and it belonged to him. It's a gift. That's what money is. We're looking at Luke 16 now. Look at what it says here in verse number 12. And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is what? Another. In other words, even though you got it, it don't really belong to you. It's another. Well, it's mine. No, that's a gift. See, all of life itself is a gift. The breath that you are breathing tonight is a gift. That's why God, he can give you some and God can take it away from you. Because it's a gift. And God says, now you know that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And God said, now, if I give you some and you mess up the stuff that I give you, just think if I let somebody else give you something. Now, if you're messing up on God, you know you're going to mess up on others. You see what I'm saying? So God said, now, if I can't trust you to take care of what I'm giving you, I'm not going to be able to trust you with what somebody else gives you. Let's move on. It'll click later on. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is another good scripture, verse number 11 there, that it tells us that it is God who gives us the power to gain wealth. As a matter of fact, let's just turn over there to that scripture, because these children of Israel was getting ready to go into the promised land. And Moses, notice how he instructs them. I think all of us need to hear this tonight. I may preach this on one Sunday morning. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 18. Look at what he says here. Now, they are getting ready to go into the promised land. Look at Moses give them final instruction before they go to the promised land. He says, beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances, his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiply, then your heart become, notice, proud. I mean, boy, we got it made. Now we got plenty of food. We got a nice house. We living high on the hog now. God said, watch it. You entered into the danger zone. Whenever you are living high on the hog, boy, watch it. In the danger zone. In the danger zone. Why is that? Look at what it says. Then your heart become proud and you forget. You forget the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of... You know, forgot the one who done brought you here. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpent, scorpion, thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought you out of the rock. I mean, he brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and my strength of my hands has made me wealthy. God says, I put you through some hard times so that you'll know that it was God that brought you through these hard times. Because if I would have just made it easy for you, you know what you would have said? You would have said, look at what I done done. But God says, you're going to have to say, look at what God done. I mean, we ain't got no safe ways out here. We ain't got no Winn-Dixies out here in this wilderness. Man, how are we eating good every day? How are we getting fat and everything out here in the wood? Man, I mean, we're eating bread from heaven. Water coming out of rock. God said, I done all that so y'all will know that you know where your blessing's coming from. Coming all from, it wasn't that you done something. It was God has been at work in your life. And notice what he says, verse 18. Oh, everybody needs to remember this. I say it often on Sunday morning when we're taking up collection. It says, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you power to make wealth. You may say, no, I went to school and that's how I got this good job. No, God gave you that mind. He gave you that ability to even think. You say, no, you know, I'm strong enough, you know, to get a job. No, God gave you that strength to even just have the mobility of your arm and legs. God gave you that. And so whatever you have it all because of the work of God in your life. So then wealth itself is a gift of God. God didn't have to. The Bible says God is the one that makes rich and he makes poor. He's the maker of them both. God could have made you poor if he wanted to. So if you rich, don't say you rich because it was of your own goodness. You rich because God wanted you to be rich. Amen. It's a gift of God. Back in Luke 16 again, though, in Luke 16, let us know the fourth thing about money. Money can be a master. Money can be a master. Look at what he says in Luke chapter 16, verse number 13. He says, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate one, love the other, or else he will hold the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God, and notice what he put besides God. And what? Mammon, money. Riches, wealth. He said you can't, in other words, he says you're going to either serve God or you're going to serve money, but you're not going to be able to do both of them. Notice, he says there is an impossibility to serve God and serve money at the same time. When you serve money, that means you stop serving God. When you serve God, that means you stop serving money. You can't do both of them at the same time. Notice, money will either control you or you will control money. One of the two. In other words, you would either be the master over money or money will be your master. And if the MasterCard is mastering you, then that's your master. There's another thing about money. Fifth thing. Money is a tester of the heart. Money is a tester of heart. When God wants to test your heart, you know what he's going to test it with? Money. He tests the rich man by giving him more money to see will he give money away to the poor. And he tests the poor man to make the poor man trust God for money. Look at what it says, Matthew 16, verse 21. I'm sorry, Matthew 6, verse 21. Look at what he says. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. For where your treasures is, notice, he said, where your treasures is, find your treasures, first of all. Find your treasures. He says, wherever you find your treasure, then you're going to find your heart. It's not where you find your heart, you find your treasure. It's where you find your treasures. Then you find your heart. You want to know where your heart is at? Find your treasures. In other words, what do you use money for the most? Take out your checkbook and find where all your money is going. Then you'll find that's where your heart is at. See, your heart always follows your money. Wherever you're giving money to, that's the concern. Mm-hmm. See, if you went out and you bought a dress that cost $300, and that dress, when you got home, you found out that the zipper was tore. Man, because your money went to Mr. Mervin, you're going to go back to Mr. Mervin. Yeah, because that dress was part of your heart. And you want that to be right. Because that's a heart issue to you. That's something that matters. If it didn't matter, you could just blow it on off. We follow our money. I guarantee you, you want to find where a person is? Find where they're sending their money. And you'll find them. That's what Jesus says. So then, what have we learned about money? Five things, right quick, about money. Money is a temporary tool. It's a tool. God looks at money as a tool. It's a temporary tool for an eternal purpose. Secondly, money is not true riches. Keep in mind, these are just play stuff. This tea sets. It's not the real stuff just yet. The third thing, money is a gift. You don't own money. Money is a gift. But the fourth thing, money can try to own you. Money is a master. So you got to be careful with it. So when you got money, boy, you better be careful because that money is going to start controlling you or you better get control of it. The fifth thing we learned, that money is the tester of the heart. When God want to test somebody's heart. Sent down the
glory. If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book. Yeah.